Truth Seekers, Malloy here on the Malloy Network. Welcome to Friday's program. That theme song we use on Friday. Friday is my day to play. Friday in media language is also dump day. No, not that kind of a dump. Friday, especially Friday evening, is when you, if you are a government agency or a politician, or somehow in the public eye, Friday night is when you dump whatever information that you want to hide as best you can, but retain the ability to say, oh yeah, well that's old stuff. I already released that. That's been out there for hours. Tonight is a classic example. It is being reported now at the Washington Post website, with a time signature of 8:20 p.m. Eastern. That the military agency that provided advice on harsh interrogation techniques for use against terrorism suspects referred to the application of extreme duress as torture in a July 2002 document sent to the Pentagon's chief lawyer. And the SEER program that we've been talking about, Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape, the military agency was the Joint Personnel Recovery Agency. They sent to the they sent to the Pentagon. That's right. They sent to everybody involved. All right. Let me start all over. Jesus, I'm stumbling all over the place here, Kathy. The military agency that provided advice on harsh interrogation techniques for use against terrorism suspects referred to the application of extreme duress as torture. This was in a July 2002 document sent to the Pentagon's chief lawyer and warned that these techniques would produce, quote, unreliable information, end quote. Now, the military agency is the Joint Personnel Recovery Agency. They are the ones that ran the SEER program, which is the survival, yada, evasion, resistance, and escape. That's a military program which trains pilots and others to resist hostile questioning, right? So part of that training involved fake torture, because the American soldiers and pilots going through this knew at any time that they could drop the ball, so to speak, which is kind of where that expression came from. If the ball hit the ground, it meant stop what you're doing right now. I can't take anymore. The use of these techniques as applied to Muslim detainees did not include drop the ball. Now, we all know that. The document, an unsigned two-page attachment to a memo by the military's Joint Personnel Recovery Agency, says, quote, the unintended consequences of a U.S. policy that provides for the torture of prisoners is that it could be used by our adversaries as justification for the torture of captured U.S. personnel, end quote. Now, the attachment, which was obtained in full by the Washington Post, was quoted in a Senate report on harsh interrogation released this week and not made public. Now, let me digress a little bit. The Republicans have always claimed to be great friends of the military. Do you understand what this is saying? It is saying don't use this because it opens American soldiers up to the kinds of torture techniques that we're talking about in here. Dick Cheney and the rest of these people who had never served in the military and repeatedly piss all over the military every chance they get. They don't care about the military any more than they care about whether or not the moon is made out of green cheese. Remember, it was Cheney who said, I had better things to do in the 60s than get involved with the military. This is a guy that got 6 or 8 deferments. And on the day that his last deferment ran out, he got Lynn Cheney knocked up so that he got a family deferment. Now, you know, we don't need to go that far into this, but what Cheney and the rest of these bastards did was unleash techniques that the army itself calls torture. They unleashed these techniques against prisoners who had been charged with nothing. Charged with nothing. We now are beginning to understand that the torture was designed not to get actionable intelligence about what was going on in the United States. Oh, Christ, no. It was to show a link between Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and Saddam Hussein. That was the only purpose for the torture. That's it. Now, the goal of the Bush-Cheney crime organization was to invade Iraq on a basis that would give it the invasion credibility. Remember when Cheney had his meeting, never revealed to the public what was discussed, his energy meeting. What has dribbled out of that meeting from reliable sources were that there were maps, topographical maps of Iraq that was discussed. Now, this was in 2001, all right? The torture that Dick Cheney, this is why Dick Cheney now is talking about he wants to get his hands on these particular memos so he can see just how deeply he is involved in treason. This is what's going on. Pay attention here, because I don't know if anyone else is connecting the dots with this. The only reason that we tortured was to get a connection between Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and Saddam Hussein, which would then justify the invasion that these rat bastard war criminals had already planned. So, again, the memo that came, the military agency that devised these techniques to teach American pilots how to resist, they said the unintended consequences of a U.S. policy that provides for the torture of prisoners. See, the military, they can mince words among the ranks. They can ask for volunteers, and I think anyone serving in the military knows what that means. But they also will state their case very clearly when they're talking about jeopardizing their own troops. There are how many laws and traditions that you do not jeopardize your own people? Some branches of the military don't even leave their wounded behind. It is that important to a piece of human filth like Dick Cheney. American soldiers, pilots, Marines are nothing. They are swine and scum. The military said the unintended consequences of a U.S. policy that provides for the torture of prisoners is that it could be used by our adversaries to justify the torture of captured American personnel, end quote. Cheney knew this. Everybody in the Bush crime family knew this. I don't give a goddamn who makes a denial. They knew this. They knew it clearly and succinctly, and they didn't care. Why? Because it didn't involve any of their offspring. They don't give a damn about the military. They don't care about how many soldiers and Marines are gunned down and blown to pieces, have half their heads blown off. They don't care. These are the definitive capitalist thugs who will send American youth to go die someplace in order, in this particular instance, to glom up Iraq's oil reserves. Is this not clear? Is this not coming through? Is there anybody in the audience who does not understand this now? Oh, my God. The document offers the clearest evidence, the Washington Post says, that has come to light so far that technical advisors on the harsh interrogation methods voiced early concerns about the effectiveness of applying severe physical or psychological pressure. And Dick Cheney and his daughter are out there saying, no, this wasn't torture. The army that sent him the document called it torture. There's more here. Stick around.
microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
Released tonight at roughly 8:30 on the Washington Post website, a document where the military agency that explained about torture techniques referred to them as torture and questioned whether or not it would be effective at all. The Bush crime family knew all of this prior to their beginning the use of these techniques, this torture on people that were hapless enough to be swept up and sent to our secret prisons. The document, according to Washington Post, I'm stumbling around here because we just got this minutes ago, right before we went on the air, as did Oberman, as did Rachel Maddow, within the past hour now. The document offers the clearest evidence that has come to light so far that technical advisors on the harsh interrogation's methods voiced early concerns about the effectiveness of applying severe physical or psychological pressure, what a reasonable human being calls torture. The document was included among memoranda dated July 2002 that described severe techniques used against Americans in past conflicts and the psychological effects of such treatment. The Joint Personnel Recovery Agency ran the military program known as SEER, which trains pilots and others to resist hostile questioning. The cautionary attachment was forwarded, the attachment that said, "Don't do this. We do it in a controlled situation where Americans are applying these techniques against other Americans. We all know when to stop. We're trying to teach these people something. Don't do this. This is torture. If carried out among adversaries, it is torture. And it is not effective because people will confess to anything to make this stop." That was made very clear. That attachment was forwarded to the Pentagon's Office of the General Counsel as the Bush crime family, my term there, finalized the legal underpinnings of a CIA interrogation program that would use 10 forms of coercion, including waterboarding, a technique that is literal drowning until it is stopped. It is not partial drowning. It is not simulated drowning. It is drowning until it is stopped, if it's stopped in time. A memo dated August 1st, a month later, from the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel. Now, the OLC, Office of Legal Counsel, this is where all these criminals resided, including a current federal appeals court judge, Jay Bybee, including a tenured professor of history, I believe, John Yoo, including scum and swine who have as much respect for this country as a dog does for a fire plug. These people need to be brought to trial. They need to go to prison. But a memo dated August 1st from that Department of Office of Legal Counsel authorized the use of these 10 methods against Abu Zubaydah, which was a nom de guerre of an Al-Qaeda associate captured in Pakistan in March 2002. Former intelligence officials have recently said that Abu Zubaydah provided little information about the organization's plans. Senate investigators were unable to determine whether William J. Haynes II, the Pentagon's general counsel in 2002, passed the cautionary memo to Rizzo or other Bush administration officials. Now, Rizzo was the CIA's acting general counsel, John Rizzo. So, what do you mean? Unable to determine? If these people, this is called plausible deniability. No, don't put my initials on it. No, here, let me see it. What is it? Okay, here, don't put my initials on it. Oh, goddamn no. Because when we all finally are brought to trial, I don't want to get involved in this. No, 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 no. Are we to believe that the top members of the Bush crime family, the top members of the CIA, the top members of the FBI, the top members of the interrogation units did not see a memo, an attachment to a memo that laid out by the very people who devised these techniques, don't do this. For two reasons. It will expose American military personnel to like treatment. A. B. It is not effective. All it will do is make a person confess to anything. But don't you see, and I think you're beginning to, that's exactly what the Bush crime family wanted. Confessions to anything. So they could justify their invasion of Iraq. We'll be back with more after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Don't go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you.
We're talking about an article that went up on the Washington Post website at about 8:20 this evening. Friday night is usually dump night when agencies want to get stuff out. I'm not saying the Washington Post is using it as a dump period. They want to get it out there as quickly as they possibly can. But documents released by it's an attachment that was on a Senate report on harsh interrogation released this week. Nobody has really talked about this particular attachment, and it's only now come to light, and that is where the military organization or the military program known as SEER that trained pilots and others to resist hostile questioning found out that the Bush crime family had gotten its hands on the techniques they use on our own people and said, don't do this. Don't use this as a means of torturing other people. We do this in a training session, but we don't, it can be stopped at any second. You can't use this because, especially the waterboarding thing, that is drowning. That is actual drowning. And the only reason the guy we're training to resist doesn't drown is because we stop in time, and he knows we'll stop in time. But don't do this on detainees. It will put American soldiers and military personnel at risk for the same sorts of treatment coming back. A, B, it doesn't work. God damn, it doesn't work. For this simple, if you're looking for actionable intelligence, for the simple reason, someone who is being tortured will confess to anything. Now, anybody who has worked in military intelligence or worked as spooks any of this type of these types of operations know that that torture does not work. It produces anything that the torturer wants the torturee to say. But the Bush crime family apparently spent an awful lot of time studying the techniques of the Japanese, the Chi-Coms, the Nazis. And then when 24, the Jack Bauer program came out, there you go. But you goddamn fools, that's a television program. But because nobody in the Bush crime family ever had any military experience, much less combat experience, they went with this against the advice of our own military. Now, the Senate, who took some of this testimony, it says Senate investigators are unable to determine if the CIA's acting general counsel, John Rizzo, passed this memo, this attachment, to Bush administration officials reviewing the CIA's proposed program. I got that wrong. Let me do it again. Senate investigators were unable to determine whether William Haynes, the Pentagon's general counsel, passed the cautionary memo to Rizzo. Rizzo was the CIA's acting general counsel. I know. You need a flow chart. Every one of these people are miserable, seditious bastards who cared nothing about anything except finding a link, manufactured link, between Afghanistan and Iraq. Now, the reason we are still in Afghanistan, the reason hundreds, if not thousands more American soldiers are going to die, is because George W. Bush and Dick Cheney made a decision. They wanted the oil in Iraq. We were involved in an action in Afghanistan to try to track down the people that the Bush crime family said had engineered the attack on this country of September 11, 2001. Whether or not that is true is kind of beside the point at this point. That's why our military was there. That's the only reason we were there. Ostensibly. That was the story, the cover story. But once the military was committed to getting the terrorists, why, my goodness, now all we have to do, the Bush crime family decided, was to find terrorists in Iraq, and we can go get the oil, which my goddamn father should have done in 91. Don't forget, Bush Jr. and Bush Sr. are in a death dance as to whose is bigger. Daniel Bumgartner, oh, by the way, Haynes declined to comment. When they finally tracked down William Haynes, Pentagon's general counsel in 2002, he declined to comment, as did Rizzo, the CIA's acting general counsel. None of these people say anything, you see. Jay Bybee, the assistant attorney general at the time, who is now a federal appeals court judge, did not respond to the Washington Post for a request, for comment. Bybee's not saying anything to anybody. That rat son of a bitch ought to leave the country quickly. If he doesn't, why is the Senate not impeaching him? Oh, that's right. Never mind. Daniel Baumgartner, here's another name for you, who was the Joint Personnel Recovery Agency, JEPRA. Let's call it JEPRA. JEPRA's chief of staff in 2002. And transmitted the memos and attachments. He's the one that sent this out to everybody and said, look, don't do this. Said the agency, quote, sent a lot of cautionary notes, end quote, regarding the harsh techniques. He said in a telephone interview yesterday, quote, there is a difference between what we do in training and what the information or what the administration, Bush crime family, wanted the information for. Yeah, that is a torture technique 101. What we do in training is a lot different from what happens in the real world. But again, Cheney, Bush, Bybee, you, Ashcroft, these rat son of a bitchin' cowards, they didn't know any of this. They went with the television script. Senator Carl Levin, chairman of the Armed Services Committee, said he thinks the attachment was deliberately ignored.
Really?
And perhaps suppressed.
No.
Levin said it's part of a pattern of squelching dissent by the Bush crime family. Levin added that there were other instances in which internal reviews of detainee treatment were halted or undercut. Levin said they, referring to the Bush criminals, they didn't want to hear the downside. End quote. God, this is just making me crazy. Isn't it you? A former administration, back to the Washington Post, a former administration official said the National Security Council, which was briefed repeatedly that summer on the CIA's planned interrogation program, briefed by George Tenet, then director of CIA, and agency lawyers, did not discuss the issues raised in the attachment. Tenet declined comment through a spokesman for this article. So think about this. The highest ranking law enforcement, intelligence, war-making apparatus in the country refused to discuss or even bring up, to give them all plausible deniability, what was said by the Army agency that did the training. Don't do this in the real world for two reasons. If you do it to people who are captured on a battlefield, it will be done to our people. A. B. It doesn't work. If you are looking for actionable intelligence, the only thing it does do is produce confessions to anything. Anything. Former administration official said the National Security Council, which was briefed repeatedly that summer on the CIA's planned interrogation program by George Tenet, then director of Central Intelligence, and agency lawyers, did not discuss the issues raised in the attachment. Tenet declined comment through a spokesman. That's a lie. That's a lie. You know it's a lie. I know it's a lie. Put these filthy, cowardly bastards under oath and ask them these questions. The official, that would be a Bush crime family official, who was involved in deliberations on interrogation policy and spoke to the Washington Post on the condition of anonymity because of the sensitivity of the issue, said, quote, "That information was not brought to the attention of the principals. That would have been relevant. The CIA did not present with pros and cons or points of concern. They said this was safe and effective and that there was no alternative," end quote. The CIA said this. Who would that be? Who would that be? The CIA got the information from the Army. The information said, don't do this for two reasons. If you do it, it'll be done to our people. A. B. It doesn't work. Ah. But that information, for some reason, if we're to believe this these lies, that information never made it to the principals. Who are the principals? Condoleezza Rice? George Tenet? George Bush? Dick Cheney? John Ashcroft? They didn't know nothing. I don't know nothing. I know nothing. I really don't. I know nothing.
The primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, a little more of this, and then we'll move on. I mean, it's only a subject that has resulted in the destruction of any moral standing this country still had left on the planet. It's astonishing. JPRA, now remember what that is. That is the agency in the military that ran the program known as SEER, which trains people how to resist torture. All right. JEPRA. We'll call it JEPRA. The JEPRA's two-page attachment titled Operational Issues Pertaining to the Use of Psychological or Physical Coercion in Interrogation questioned the effectiveness of employing extreme duress to gain intelligence. Here's what it said. Quote, the requirement to obtain information from an uncooperative source as quickly as possible, in time to prevent, for example, an impending terrorist attack that could result in loss of life, the requirement has been forwarded as a compelling argument for the use of torture. In essence, physical and or psychological duress are viewed as an alternative to the more time-consuming conventional interrogation process. The error inherent in this line of thinking is the assumption that through torture, the interrogator can extract reliable and accurate information. History and a consideration of human behavior would appear to refute this assumption. Now, that attachment went up the line to everybody. And as the Post continues, there was no consideration within the National Security Council that the planned techniques stemmed from Chinese communist practices and had been deemed torture when employed against American personnel, the former administration official said. The U.S. military prosecuted its own troops for using waterboarding in the Philippines and tried Japanese officers on war crimes charges for its use against Americans and other allied nationals during World War II. Do you get that, right? You do get that. The record was there. The record was there for everyone. For the Bush crime family principals, for the Justice Department, for the CIA, for the National Security Agency, for the military knew it. Of course they would know it. That's why they sent this attachment that said, don't use these techniques, because if you use them in the real world, it will put American military personnel at jeopardy for the same treatment. A. B. It doesn't work. You do not get actionable intelligence. You get confessions to anything. The JEPRA attachment said the key deficiency of physical or psychological duress, i.e. torture, is the reliability and accuracy of the information gained. The attachment said, quote, a subject in pain may provide an answer, any answer, or many answers in order to get the pain to stop. In conclusion, the document said, quote, the application of extreme physical and or psychological duress, torture, has some serious operational deficits. Most notably, the potential to result in unreliable information, end quote. And in that document, the word extreme is underlined. So, somebody on the Senate Intelligence Committee, you see, when this report was put together this week, a couple of days ago, and none of this was released until this son of a bitch, Dick Cheney, somebody on the Intelligence Committee, a Republican or maybe a Democrat, went to Cheney and said, uh-oh, boss, guess what? The attachment from the SEER program put together by JEPRA, the attachment, it's there. It's going to be discovered. Quick, boss, do something. Do something. So what does Cheney do? Immediately, he goes on Sean Hannity's program. Because he knows Sean Hannity is the dumbest son of a bitch ever to sit in front of a camera. Sean Hannity is handed the questions to ask Cheney, and dutifully, because he's a little bastard, asks them. And Cheney provides the answer. Well, see, there you go. I've asked the CIA to declassify the memos that show that we got real good information and all the lives we saved and the bombings we stopped and the terror that was interrupted because of the techniques, the enhanced interrogation techniques. You know, Sean, some of these liberals are still calling it torture. Can you believe that?
So there is an absolute death struggle going on right now between, in this country,
between the forces of truth and justice, mostly truth, and these hideous ghoul flesh-eating bastards that cluster around Fox News and the Bush crime family. I say they all should be kneecapped. You know, I wish I had a Louisville Slugger. Anybody remember what Louisville Slugger is? Huh? Give me a 32-inch Louisville Slugger. And leave me alone with these people for a while. They want to know some enhanced interrogation techniques? These son of a bitches. Now, what is Barack Obama doing about all this? What is he going to do? Well, that picture is not very bright and hopeful on the one hand, and on the other, well, we'll talk about that when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. We have spent the first hour here on the Malloy program tonight talking about an article that went up on the Washington Post website at 8:20 Eastern Time this evening. It was a result of a document dump that came from the Senate Armed Services Committee. This type of technique, dumping documents on a Friday evening, is a time-tested way to avoid the kind of embarrassing news cycles that would occur if you did it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Friday night, nobody cares, nobody's watching the news, very few people are listening to talk radio. You have the information now because you happen to be tuned to this program tonight. It'll probably get some play on Judas Stephanopoulos' program, maybe on Press the Meat or a couple of these other crappy-ass Sunday shows, but I doubt if it'll go very far at all. That's the reason you dump something on a Friday night. The newsrooms, per se, are closed down on Saturday and Sunday, so there's no nosy-ass reporter bringing in experts, no anchor people sitting behind the desk at CNN or MSNBC asking terribly embarrassing questions. Why? Because they're all gone for the weekend. That's why this sort of story comes out on a Friday night. The information was available. The Senate Armed Services Committee, who got this information, had it midweek, but they wait till Friday. Of course. Prairie 2 writes, did the Bush crime family consider these torture techniques to be torture? Of course they did. Otherwise, they wouldn't need the memos to create the fantasy that they weren't torturing. There's a term for staging an event where a prisoner thinks you're going to kill him, whether you fire blanks at him or pretend you're killing him by drowning. It's called a mock execution and is a crime under international law and considered one of the worst kinds of torture. How you do it doesn't matter. The flowery lawyer talk and the memos about limits and controls are absurd on their face. It's like setting standards for the bullet that you use in Russian roulette. It doesn't change the game. The fact that they created these memos is a confession of guilt on the face of it. And there's no need to argue over the details. Why, of course. But do you realize what our media will do with this Saturday and Sunday and Monday? Do you realize what, I'm talking about television, sadly, and talk radio, vomitously, the two being where most people get most of their news. They don't get it from studied examination in newspapers or magazines any longer. No, that takes too much time. Got to go to Twitter, for Christ's sake. Got to update my Facebook. Jesus. Do you know what media are going to do to this? They're going to do what television is supposed to do. They're going to make you forget was ever released. They're going to bring out, in the interest of fairness, fairness and balance, you see, because we are television journalists, they're going to bring out dissenting opinions. They're going to put this creaky old Nazi Pat Buchanan out there. That's what MSNBC will do. They'll put Nazi Buchanan out. This son of a bitch is still around? Yeah, he is. They'll bring out Newt Gingrich. They'll bring out, who else will they bring out? Probably two or three of the morons from the Georgia congressional delegation. They're always good for a laugh. They'll bring out Mitch McConnell. Oh, and of course, John Boehner. To offer balance to the stories, you see. Here are these memos from the Army that said, don't do this. We know you're asking for the techniques that we use over here, but don't do it. These are techniques that are used in our training program. But keep in mind, no matter what you hear over the next week, by then the story will be dead. Keep this one salient fact as tightly in your head as you can. There is only one reason that torture was applied. Only one. And that was to force a confession, which is not hard to do when you're torturing someone, that would provide a link between Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and Saddam Hussein. That is the only reason. The cover story was, oh, well, we're trying to get information to save American cities and bridges and skyscrapers and airports. We're trying to get information so that another 9/11 doesn't occur. And this is the only way we can do it, because these Muslim son of a bitches, you know, their allegiance is to Allah, and they won't say anything. So we have to torture them. Don't you understand, you dumb goddamn American people? We're trying to save your lives. There was only one reason to apply torture. One. To get a confession from someone, anyone, that said, oh yes, 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 there is a link between Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, and don't forget, we're the ones that came over and bombed your two skyscrapers, and Saddam Hussein. Yes, 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 anything, anything. Oh, really? Oh, well, what about that? And you watched it unfold, and I watched it unfold. All of a sudden, George Bush comes out in front of the American public and says, well, Saddam Hussein is part and parcel of the attack on this country. We have the proof. We have the memos. We have the interrogations. We have the Q's and A's. We have it all. It was him! And he's got weapons of mass destruction to boot. We got to get him. Jesus Christ. So what will Obama do? Well, this is at the New York Times caucus blog. Yesterday afternoon, Senate Democratic leaders joining forces with the Obama White House said they would resist efforts by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and other prominent Democrats to create a special commission to investigate the harsh interrogation methods that the Bush administration approved for terrorist suspects. At a meeting of top Democrats at the White House Wednesday night, President Obama told congressional leaders that he did not want a special inquiry. Now, are you listening? Yeah, I voted for him. Are you listening? President Obama told congressional leaders that he did not want a special inquiry, which he said would potentially steal time and energy from his ambitious policy priorities and could mushroom into a wider distraction by looking back at other aspects of the Bush years. That was Wednesday. The Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada and other top Senate Democrats endorsed Mr. Obama's view on Thursday. telling reporters,
that
they preferred to wait for the results of an investigation by the Senate Intelligence Committee expected sometime, quote, late this year, you know, later, not now, please, we're busy. Nancy Pelosi renewed her call, though, for an independent panel.
No, listen, Senate Intelligence Committee is looking at that, you know, the one that Jay Rockefeller sits on and all these other cowardly sons of bitches and liars and sneaks and people that are owned lock, stock, and barrel by corporate America. So it'll all work its way out. Don't worry, don't worry.
Harry Reid, who repeatedly denounced the use of harsh interrogation techniques when Bush was president, suggested that naming a special panel would signal an intent to exact retribution. His word. And he tried to paper over the disagreement with members of his own caucus, like Pat Leahy of Vermont, who wants a commission. Reid said,
well, I don't think there's division among Democrats. Justice must be served. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, kiss my ass. Retribution should not be a part of what we're talking about.
He said that it was premature to act without facts to be provided by the Intelligence Committee.
They will make a public report, Reid said. I hope that it will come toward the end of this year.
We're screwed. I wish I could use the F word, but I can't. We're screwed. We're screwed.
To the very last breath. Bartender, what is wrong with me? Why am I so out of breath? The captain said, excuse me, ma'am, the species has amused itself to death.
Radio right from the left. It's more Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. So, given the fact that the Democratic Party leadership is cooperating in one of the most hideous cover-ups in the history of this republic. And given the fact that the Democratic president is participating in the cover-up, like I said, we're pretty much screwed. But maybe not so. Michael in Harrisburg, PA writes, Mike, now I can see Obama's Bush-Cheney strategy. I suspect that Obama has reasoned it out that the best strategy is to gradually release, drip by drip, incriminating information, such as the recent memos, into the public arena and let everyone see what these guys did. Without subjecting the Democrats to charges of partisan witch hunts, investigations, prosecutions. If someone wants to prosecute, they can go ahead. And Obama doesn't get blamed for it. Even if no charges or convictions ensue, the spotlight of history will nonetheless be on these sons of bitches. It's already starting to shine, isn't it? Bush and Cheney are screwed. Even if no one legally goes after them. Who knows? Maybe the world court will use the information. But they're screwed, totally. I'm becoming increasingly convinced as to what a really smart guy we have for president. Michael in Harrisburg, PA. You think? I hope you're right, pal. From George, Mike, I think the most important feature of the torture issue is often overlooked. For decades, insurgents, rebels, and other fighters we have encountered have always known that surrender to U.S. forces would bring instant comfort and food and medical treatment. The torture, and more importantly, the release of the Abu Ghraib torture photos, is what gave birth to the insurgency, so-called, and the beheadings. Before that time, we had Ba'athist, Fedayeen, and Saddam loyalists. The photo leaks, I believe, were intentional. Think about it. Have you seen any torture photos since or from other events? No. Well, George, let me interrupt your email. We're about to, because the Pentagon is getting ready to release more. Back to George. Publicizing our torture is a tactic to prevent surrender and to foster the image of an evil America in the Mideast. Why? Well, if everyone surrenders, you've got no war where you can go steal $500 billion a year from whoever. That's what I think this is about, fostering enmity for current and future wars. The purpose is, sadly, to destroy the good name or what's left of the United States, Georgia, North Carolina. Okay. Couple more here. Regarding the Bush crime family, this is from, who's this from? Art, who writes, Mike, during Vietnam, we referred to those vile bastards as chicken hawks. They mocked McGovern as a wimp, even though he was a medal-winning bomber pilot over Europe and Africa. The tough guys like Bush and his National Guard stint provided by his daddy the only hazardous duty encounter was snorting blow and chasing skirts. The list goes on. The OxyContin comedian and his 4F status for anal warts. Cheney with his 5 deferments, etc., etc. Even worse, though, is the utter disregard they have for returning veterans. Those veterans are our brothers and sisters, and once again, they continue to be treated like blank. When will this country ever learn? I think the learning curve has run out, Art. I really do. I think the learning curve has run out. Ernie in Lynn, Massachusetts, right? Mike, Hannity cannot be waterboarded for charity. The real waterboarded experience must include the knowledge that you are in hostile hands and that could actually be taking your life. And it is at minimum something done to you against your will. We have other words for being used against your will. Kidnapping, slavery, rape. Willingly having sex with a stranger does not in any way make the case that rape is not harmful. Why should waterboarding be acceptable on those terms? If anything, this proposition proves the true diabolical nature of these people. It is a proposition that cannot be made by a fully sensible person of sound mind. As a matter of fact, if you wanted to put together a questionnaire that could pick these sociopaths out of a population like Hannity, you could literally do it with a handful of questions that test for empathy and humanity. No wonder these people flock together. Do you suppose that on some level they know that? They know that they are lame and they fear us. Ernie, yeah, this trivialization of a torture method that this little prick Hannity is getting involved in. This is the point where I'd like to pick up my 32-inch Louisville Slugger and go pay this punk a visit. This is astonishing that he sits there and smirks on television and says, "Well, yeah, I'm going to be waterboarded. Yeah, I'll be waterboarded for torture or for a charity, some soldier charity. Yes, I will. It's not torture." how did we get to the point where someone like this has an audience for anything outside of a mental institution?
be afraid, be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy.
It's 25 before the hour. A couple more emails on this, and then we'll take some calls, I guess. This is from Ron. Mike, the use of torture techniques by the sadistic bastards has caused irreparable harm to the stature of the U.S. in the worldview. Remember the droves of German soldiers and scientists that surrendered to the Western forces at the end of World War II. They did so because they knew they would be well treated by the Americans as opposed to what would have happened to them if they surrendered to the Soviets. More recently, in the first Iraq War, tens of thousands of Iraqi forces surrendered, even to unmanned drone planes. Now, after these sadistic bastards have done their dirty work, how many enemy combatants would surrender knowing that the U.S. treats prisoners brutally and in an inhumane manner? Most likely not many, given the choice of possibly dying in battle or being tortured if captured. All that was accomplished was to put our citizens in great danger, be they military or civilian. Simulated drowning, my ass. Simulation is a training technique. Any right-winger that calls it enhanced interrogation should undergo the process and then see what they call it. Eric in Canada. Mike, good show. I don't require your podcast, but I bought a subscription anyway. Whatever I can do to help. Today I listened to a program on Air America that had a lot of right-wing callers. Some were actually coherent, kind of, but none could dispute that the fact that the truth must come out. There were accusations that the left knew all about what was taking place and should be prosecuted as well. They knew, you knew, I knew, and the whole world knew torture was taking place, but you know what they said? If you're not with us, you're against us. Objecting to torture would have put anyone with the power to do something in jeopardy. If a government will torture their enemy, it won't be long before they start to torture their citizens, if it isn't being done already. There is concern in the outside world. We're all kind of holding our breath, hoping once again that your country will come to its senses and the full truth will come out. If the U.S. government is ever allowed to slip into a fascist state again, it will take a violent revolution and possibly an invasion by the rest of the world to free the people of the United States. The next bunch of Republican religious fascists won't hesitate to go all the way. Air America, huh? What is that? Is that still around? Jesus, God. This is from Carlos. I feel that the Republican Party has gotten so desperate to salvage any remaining credibility the history books might offer them that they'll go to devastating extremes to prove their lingering points. As I learn more about the real activities which this withering farce of a party had going on behind the scenes during the Bush administration, and I see the frightening babblings of Cheney and Rush, I have concluded that a terrorist attack may, in fact, be imminent. The terrorists in this case, however, will be ourselves. I can see Cheney now in his Batcave creating a U.S. terrorist attack using his own minions with the intent of dealing the final blow to our unstable and increasingly questionable experiment in democracy. Once these American-backed Arabs, one or more of which will be caught on purpose, do the deed, our highly susceptible public, brainwashed by mainstream media, would sway heavily away from Obama's new motions toward national redemption and recovery and take us back into our dark ages of fear. Why would somebody do this, you might ask? Public fear is very distracting, allowing the elite to continue uninterrupted and unencumbered with the lives to which they've become accustomed, and which, in fact, they demand. Luckily, if this attack does happen, I have a feeling we would find out the truth and the whole thing would backfire, bringing with it an overdue age of enlightenment to our young country. Whereas 9/11 may have been anticipated and strategically condoned by our selfish and arrogant leaders, we may see a new, more desperate animal of a different breed emerging from the fallout. A self-inflicted mortal wound may be cast by the cast which wants the lead roles in the cast of the stage play known as United States of America. Carlos. It is. I'll tell you, it is. It's very difficult for me to, you know. I don't know about you. If you have, you know, the strength of character to continue to, you know, find the pony in the room full of horse manure. Okay, that's. But it's getting more and more difficult for me to do that when I see the president himself or the Senate Majority Leader. You know, first it was Pelosi 2 years ago who said impeachment's off the table. Now it's Reid and the president saying, no, we don't want it. We don't want an inquiry. Why? Well, it'll distract us from, you know, getting about the business of saving capitalism. Joanne in California writes, Mike, what's happening to the Bush crime family now with the truth coming out about their illegal torturing and its nexus to the Iraq war crime is much worse for them than impeachment could ever have been. As Vince Bugliosi stated in his book, The Prosecution of George Bush for Murder, the most we could have hoped for with impeachment was to have Bush removed from office. And of course, we couldn't get the 66 requisite votes out of the Senate due to the balance of power. And also because the real damning evidence was in the custody of and under the control of the criminal Bush administration. But now we have all the evidence. We can build a case against them by releasing the documentary evidence and by torturing them psychologically by making them have to sit and watch the evidence on parade. And who knows? They may even yet be prosecuted and jailed for their insidious war crimes. One can only hope that there is true justice at the end of the tunnel. Joanna in California. Well, okay, but if you don't mind a bit of an argument here, Joanna writes, we've got the evidence. We can build a case by releasing the evidence. Yeah, but if nobody, Joanna, if nobody will step forward and prosecute these sons of bitches or investigate them, releasing memos is one thing. But that's like step one. You know, then there's step two, three, four, up to step 12 to remove these sons of bitches from ever again harming the United States. Releasing the memos has kind of an air out of the tire effect, as far as I'm concerned, unless it's followed up by words from, for example, Harry Reid or Barack Obama or Eric Holder, words that say, oh my God. More memos have been released, more pictures, more torture. Now it's becoming clear that the whole thing was a scam to establish a relationship between Afghanistan and Iraq. Hell yes, we're going to investigate. But that's not what's happening. And when you say it can build a case against them by releasing the documentary evidence and by torturing them psychologically by making them have to sit and watch the evidence on parade. You're talking about normal people, Joanna. These sons of bitches are not normal people. These are people who would send thousands upon thousands of American soldiers to their death so that they could get oil. These are people that invaded two countries so they could get oil and extend their empire. These are people who will torture folks scooped up, driving cabs, herding goats, pushing a push goddamn cart, and take them to some dark prison somewhere and torture them. Do you think, and I'm not yelling, Joanne, I'm sorry, I don't mean to make it sound like I'm yelling at you. I'm not. I just get so pissed off. Does anyone think that animal thugs, criminals, bastards like that are going to feel psychologically threatened because the memos are coming out? No. Because they know a couple of things. First of all, the American people, pretty much, are a collection of dumbasses. Not you, not me, not people listening to this program by any means. But the American people, for the most part, are a bunch of dumbasses about this. And the attitude is, well, the deed's done. Well, everybody tortures. Well, listen, let's move on. Listen, I don't have a job. I don't have health insurance. And those are valid points to make. I don't want to get involved in this. I went through Watergate. I went through the impeachment of Clinton. I don't, enough of this crap. So the people who have committed these crimes in the Bush crime family, they know this. They know that's the attitude of the American public. They also know two other things. That media in this country is totally dominated. Talk radio, which scrambles the brains of people 24/7 in this country, coast to coast, border to border, you cannot escape it. It is designed to scramble your brains, and it does a damn good job at scrambling your brains. Talk television, Fox News Channel, all this stuff is put out there to absolutely destroy your ability to think clearly. On the other hand, the un-Fox News channels, the un-right-wing commentators are so few and far between. On television, what people like ABC, CBS, and NBC, what they try to do is still present themselves as, well, we believe in presenting a balanced point of view. If somebody says George Bush is a murderer, of course we've got to put someone on that says no, he's not. You understand. Of course, we'd never let the person on that says he's a murderer to begin with. Look what they did to Bugliosi. He couldn't get an interview. And why is that? This guy is famous. He's a prosecutor. He put Charles Manson in prison. He convicted murderers out in California. He got convictions. But he writes a book that says, here's how you can get this murdering son of a bitch. And what does mainstream media do? They ignore him. Till a guy who runs a goddamn coffee import company in Seattle has to send books to every single prosecutor in the country with a note, do something!
Watches C-SPAN so you don't have to. It's More Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour. A lot of emails coming in about this, which I want to share with you, and we will definitely get some phone calls here. Daryl in Montgomery, Alabama writes, Mike, here's why I agree with Obama. A public commission would be crap. Look at how the Iran-Contra investigation became a sideshow with nothing coming out of it. If we had media that walk and chew gum at the same time, I would say go for it. But the whole thing would become a circus with inane reporters spending most of the time lambasting Obama for pursuing the facts. In the meantime, attempts to fix important issues like health care and other measures go right down the toilet. Obama should send justice after them, Justice Department, like you would for any other common criminal. Besides, the idea of the bastards and Rice sitting around wondering for months when the knock will come on the door has a lot of appeal. If that's the plan, okay. If Eric Holder would appoint a special prosecutor, and if that special prosecutor is given subpoena power with the power to arrest these miserable sons of bitches if they don't show up, you know, like Rove and who was the woman who was going to be one of Bush's Supreme Court appointees. What was her name? I forget her name. She's a footnote in history. Don't send me an email and tell me her name. I don't care. Harriet Myers, that's right. They ignore subpoenas. They ignore demands by Congress. So there has to be powerful enforcement behind this. If it happens, sure. All right, Daryl, a special prosecutor, yeah, I can go for a special prosecutor for the obvious reasons that you pointed out. Reg writes, Mike, I'm totally confused about the so-called debate that is going on about the torture of detainees imprisoned or renditioned by the U.S. government. See, we haven't even gotten into the renditioning yet. I see things very clearly, and I'm waiting for someone to show me where I'm wrong. Here are the facts. One, a host of interrogation methods are specifically outlawed as torture, both U.S. military law as well as international law. Two, these methods were permitted, encouraged, and implemented by members of the Bush administration. Three, there's a vast amount of eyewitness testimony to corroborate these acts. Four, there is a volume of photographic evidence showing these acts in progress. Five, there is a significant amount of legal precedent supporting the criminality of the use of these methods. Six, the perpetrators of these crimes have publicly admitted that such acts took place. If these crimes are not prosecuted, those who protect the accused are equally complicit in their crimes. I can't see any reason for discussion, only action. Ours, if need be. Don in Baltimore. Mike, maybe Democrats like Harry Reid and Jay Rockefeller are afraid of having hearings on torture because they knew all along about the torture. Didn't the Bush crime family compromise them as the torture started years ago by informing these Democratic leaders about the few torture methods and other crimes they're planning to use? It's an old practice to compromise the political opposition into sweeping their crimes all under the rug to avoid, quote, embarrassment, end quote, of being complicit in the crimes themselves. By knowing the crimes were taking place and refusing to do anything to stop it at the time. Would not knowing Bush and Cheney were torturing people make those top Democratic leaders willing accomplices to the crimes? That's the way Washington works. If both sides are in on it, everything gets swept under the rug. I don't think it would make them complicit in crimes, but the American public, being the dunderheads that we are, would be battered and rammed and beat into a bloody pulp by the right-wingers in media who blanket this country 24/7 about, well, if it's so bad, what about all these Democrats that signed off on it? So, you know, turning your back on a crime shows a lack of integrity or moral center or an ethical reason for keeping your ass alive, but it doesn't make you complicit in a crime. John writes, Mike, seems there are three options. One, do nothing. Two, appoint a special prosecutor. Three, allow the Senate committee to investigate. John goes on, Elise de la Vega has made the case that the special prosecutor option would allow concealment and would push all useful information down the memory hole. Opposing the special prosecutor does not necessarily mean doing nothing. It might mean allowing the Senate option to proceed. I am not as pessimistic as you yet, John. Well, see, it's interesting. Two points of view. Both want the bastards found out and punished, but both have different points of view. Use a special prosecutor. No, that'll result in information being pushed down the memory hole. Use the Senate committee. No, because the Senate committee will get nothing done. So, you know, what do we do? I'm not busting either one of you writing that. I'm just saying, you know, it's different. Jonathan Turley, the George Washington Law School professor, was on Countdown last night on the subject of these torture prosecutions. And he argued that investigations aren't just necessary, but they're long overdue. He made two important points, according to Zachary Roth at TPM Muckraker, that had been getting a bit lost in the rapid-fire debate. First, he said there's a huge difference between an investigation conducted by Congress or a bipartisan commission on the one hand and the appointment of a special prosecutor by the Justice Department on the other. The former approach, the commission, is likely to repeat the mistakes of the 9/11 commission. Only the latter approach, special prosecutor, he said, will ensure genuine accountability. Second, Turley lamented the way that Washington debate has lately centered on the issue of whether the Department of Justice lawyers who wrote the memos will face prosecution. But a full investigation, of course, should focus on those who ordered the policies, including, if necessary, Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Tenet, and others, not just the lawyers who produce the legal rationale for it. Of course, Turley's advice will most certainly not be followed. But it's worth keeping his views in mind as a baseline of what, in an ideal world, should be happening. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. Bruce writes, what is yet to come out? Is it, it is possible there is much more evidence to come out. The best indicator that this could be so is how wound up Cheney is over all this. He knows that there is more. It's not time to give up hope yet. Okay. And then this is, the follow-up to the Post article that was, put up on their website at 8:20 this evening. This is, Dateline tomorrow, April 25th, in the Washington Post. Dan, Egan, what they have, what the Post is revealing now is what Cheney is digging around for. What the Post says is former Vice President Cheney is asking for the release of two CIA reports in his bid to marshal evidence that coercive interrogation tactics helped thwart terrorist plots. That's according to documents released today, Friday, by the National Archives and Records Administration. Cheney's request was submitted March 31st, more than 2 weeks before President Obama decided to release four top secret memos in which Bush administration lawyers sanctioned harsh tactics for questioning prisoners, i.e. torture. The release of the memos has renewed a fiery debate over whether former senior Bush officials should be the targets of criminal investigations into whether they violated U.S. and international laws prohibiting torture. Obama said this week that his administration has not ruled out prosecuting senior lawyers and others responsible for allowing the harsh tactics, but he said he opposes a special so-called truth commission favored by some lawmakers. The request by Cheney applies to CIA reports issued July 13, 2004 and June 1, 2005 that were held in a file marked detainees inside the office of the vice president, according to archives documents. What? Cheney? Why would Cheney be holding files marked detainees? This is one sick son of a bitch, Cheney. I mean, he really, really is. Cheney's initial request, the Post goes on, said the reports were 8 and 13 pages long, respectively. Archive staff determined they are 12 and 19 pages long, including attachments. Boy, he's just got it down, doesn't he? A presidential archivist wrote in an April 8th letter to Cheney that the documents require, quote, an agency review, end quote, before they can be released. That would be CIA review. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs said the review will take, quote, up to about 3 weeks' time, end quote. Jamil Jaffer, director of the ACLU National Security Project, said Cheney is attempting to cherry-pick intelligence to support his argument in favor of torture. Quote, if we really wanted to evaluate the effectiveness of the CIA's interrogation program, we have to look at more than two small documents, end quote. Attorney General Eric Holder, Jr. told Congress he would not play hide-and-seek with documents and would strive to release as many records about interrogations as possible. It's pretty crazy, isn't it? Last one, and then we'll get some phone calls. Ron writes, Mike, if you were president, especially if you were Obama, wouldn't you attempt to enlist as many people as you could to assist you to do what probably would get you JFK'd? Look how Lech Wałęsa did what he did. He had to make himself so visible that the lesser evolved Morlocks couldn't draw a bead on him. So why is Obama being so timid about the great shame of our nation? The unbelievable fact that we as a people did nothing as we've become a torture state. Didn't he say during the campaign that he needed our help to change Washington? He didn't really say what that was, but I think it's time to grab some torches and pitchforks. You know what I mean? Well, I don't know. I know absolutely nothing. Nothing. Diana is calling from Laguna Beach, California, listening on XM. Hi, Diana.
Hey, Mike. After your rant last night, I'm going to go sign up for a podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It worked.
It's about the only way that we can make sure that this program stays on the air.
I know that. I'm just waiting to get my Visa card back from my son.
Okay, thank you. Thank you again.
But anyway, I heard John Yoo and his in the debate they had this last week here at Chapman. I don't know if you're aware of that, but
you did what? I'm sorry.
There was a debate this last week at Chapman University.
Isn't that where John Yoo is on leave too?
Yeah, he's a visiting professor there.
Right.
So, just to let you know, they were on the John Yoo and the dean Dean Eastman were really much on the defense the entire time, and the audience really responded to Catherine Damer and I'm trying to think of the other gentleman. I mean, they were so succinct in their on our side. Basically, it was just so obvious that you know they had a chart with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and it was just it went very well.
Mm-hmm.
But what really bothers me is that they kept going back to 9/11. 9/11 justifies these presidential powers. 9/11 justifies everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, 25% of the information in the 9/11 Commission report was probably obtained through torture. It appears. And I am very concerned that there, and I know you've done some of this in the past, but I think that the progressive media, what little we have, really is missing the opportunity by not discussing the anomalies surrounding 9/11. You know, really having Richard Gage on the radio, having, you know, maybe the Professor Jones or
mm-hmm.
I'm so concerned that Cheney's going to pull something because they're so desperate. And it's like the person that wrote just the last piece that you read. I think we protect ourselves by really coming out with this. You know, it puts it out there so that I think they're less likely to pull it. No pun intended.
Right, right. No, I understand.
I think we're missing an opportunity. I think that is it's the epiphany that people on both sides understand this, the left and the right. When I've done truth, you know, been involved at all with people in the truth movement, it's
mm-hmm.
both the left and the right get it. Maybe they have different economic perspectives, but they get 9/11. It's right there in your face.
Well, I don't. When you say both the left and the right get it, I'm not sure. You know what you mean?
Well, I mean, just as an example, I met a gentleman who is in his 40s. He was raised a Catholic. He listened to Rush Limbaugh. He fell for the whole, you know, song and dance. He used to pick it with his parents. You know, where he was anti-choice. I mean, really very conservative. When he understood, you know, when he really understood that he was lied to about 9/11 and understood the science and that the buildings came down and controlled demolitions. It was an epiphany for him.
Mm-hmm.
His whole family has changed. His whole family has changed.
Well, when you say the right and the left, you mean us common folk.
You're not common folk.
Okay.
I thought
for a moment there that you thought that people in media
or
government.
I mean the man on the street, the common folk.
Oh, okay.
They get it. I think it gets rid of the wedge issues. If we could come together in that one area,
mm-hmm.
it might bring us together.
Well,
there are some crazy, you know, I mean, I do agree. I don't agree with some of the, you know,
right.
differ in some areas, but I think it's a waste of their lives, these people that died, if we don't, you know, in a way they provided us an opportunity to look at this. The ugliness
has
been...
Well, I agree with what you're saying, Diana, and I also agree that everything flows from what occurred on September 11, 2001. I no more believe the official story right now than I believe that pigs can fly. Thanks, Diana. I appreciate you checking in.
better stand back. Here come 50,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Roger is calling from Mobile, Alabama, listening to XM. Hey, Roger.
Hey, Mike. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a truck driver, and I apologize if the signal gives us any trouble, but I'm between hours. Being a truck driver, I'm obviously up against a lot of the right, and when I get into truck stops, I love getting into the discussions, but, you know, it's generally an agony of... you know, I'm hoping for the best, but it never works out that way. Anyway, a point that was made is that they really believe that because of the poll, the Rasmussen poll, that 60% of people say look the other way and move on. Do you think Obama, who's nothing if he's not brilliant, is going to say, you know, it's just not worth it. Let's not risk a Democratic Congress at this point, and we should really move towards the middle on this and just... we don't want to lose congressional, votes.
Well, let me answer on the air, Roger, because you really are breaking up pretty bad. I don't know, and I wish I did, how Obama's, sense of, urgency or morality, works, about this stuff. I honestly just don't know anymore. As far as pursuing this, you know, I kind of hold with, Paul Krugman, with Jonathan Turley, with, so many people who email this program, whose emails I've shared with you. I hold with them and in this particular, way. If we do not appoint a special prosecutor, that will find out what really happened over these past 8 years. They can start with the torture memos and work backwards. And I hope they do. I hope they go all the way back to, September 11th, 2001. Although I doubt that that would happen. You see, a commission looked into that. That's been deep sixed. That's down the memory hole. End of discussion. For anyone who thinks that that particular event will be revisited in our lifetimes or this generation or the next, forget about it. It's really not going to happen. Now, I'm not saying that to suggest that debate be cut off or ended, about the anomalies of that day, the anomalies that prove that the official story is so much garbage. I'm just saying it's not going to happen. So, If we start with what these criminal sons of bitches did to our country, and if we do that, start with an obvious starting point, they have confessed to committing crimes, torture. They're proud of it. I mean, Cheney keeps saying, yeah, that's what we did. He said it how many goddamn times? So did Bush. I mean, confessing publicly to a crime, this is not the old Soviet Union where you confessed to stuff that was made up by the KGB and you were disappeared for 10 years until you might be rehabilitated. We really are not in that place. So since they have confessed to crimes, that should be evidence against them. Oh. Fifth Amendment. They don't care about the Fifth Amendment or the Fourth, the Third, Second, First, none of it. I don't know. I don't know how to answer. I really don't. William says, how to prosecute. I think we should follow Janice Karpinski's suggestion and have a team of special prosecutors, which includes people from various other countries, to help make the investigation and prosecution more independent. I would go one step further, William writes. Make Janice Karpinski, that's the former general who was forced to accept total responsibility for what happened to Abu Ghraib, even though she didn't have a clue. Make Janice Karpinski the special prosecutor and move the trials to some neutral country. The Netherlands, The Hague. William. Last one, back to your calls. This is from Tom in Daytona Beach. Mike, right now, right about now, the financial elites are thanking God for the incredible arrogance of the warmongering, torturing Bush regime. If the Obama administration didn't have the damning and inflammatory evidence to whip up and give a useful and expedient... Wait a sec, we have a break here. Jeez, I'm sorry. Let me get back to this when... because this is longer than the 10 seconds I have left before we have to take a break. And then we'll go back to your phone calls. The number here again is 877-996-2556. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Without dissent, it's not America. Here's Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. All right, let me do this email from Tom in Daytona Beach and back to your phone calls. He writes, Mike, right about now the financial elites are thanking God for the incredible arrogance of the warmongering, torturing Bush regime. Why? Because if the Bush administration didn't have the damning and inflammatory evidence to whip up and give us and give a useful and expedient target for American public wrath, then the larcenous excesses of the financial elites might have resulted in another deserving group being tarred and feathered. The beauty of the Obama lightning rod strategy to protect the greatest financial crimes in world history hasn't been appreciated by the teeming crowds of pundits and bloggers. The cynical assume that nothing will ever come of the avalanche of evidence of obvious international law violations by the top hierarchy of the Bush regime. It turns out that the Army, among others, timely pointed out the criminal nature of the enhanced interrogation program. Of course, ignorance of the law, deliberate or otherwise, is never an excuse. All know the torture program was deliberately devised to create a fertile source of phony news stories to justify the ultimate Nuremberg crime of invading Iraq. It also provided bogus substantiation of the 9/11 fairy tale, which more likely was concocted over peanut cocktails and at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. Thank God for the savage nature of an irate populace victimized by greedy bankers. Cheney and company are in much more peril than they appreciate. Cheney's public justifications for torture are life preservers, protecting the naked short sellers and RICO conspirators selling CDs, CD contracts from AIG. Sincerely, Tom from Daytona Beach. You know, your email kind of confused me, Tom. On the one hand, you're saying that that this and I don't disagree that this the torture memos and all this stuff is a godsend from the Bush crime family, inadvertent though it may be, to the financial industry that gets to hide behind this bigger debate. You know, while they continue to cover up the theft that they perpetrated against the American people and the world, and continue to do it. I mean, we're still shoveling money to these evil sons of bitches. So I get that, what you're saying. But on the other hand, it seems like you're also saying you say, thank God for the savage nature of an irate populace victimized by greedy bankers. Cheney and company are in much more peril than they appreciate. Well, based on what? What do you say? I think what you're saying is that both of these pyramids of scandal are about to collapse. I hope that's what you're saying. I don't know. It's late. It's Friday. And I'm probably not thinking very clearly. Rum is calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma, listening online. Rum, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, sir.
Rum, is that your name? Is that what people call you?
Yeah.
All right.
What they call me, other numerous names as well, sir. you're not coming in real loud. Maybe Kathy can turn it up there.
All right, let's see. Kathy, can you turn it up? How's that? Is that better?
Oh, that's much better, sir.
Thank you.
Well, how dickens are you folks on that production out there?
Well, we're doing just fine. Have you become a podcast subscriber yet?
Well, shoot, if I could just get past these bills and loan the money out to my next-door neighbors, I'd be right in there with you.
Okay, well.
And then, I give a high five to Kathy for her production skills.
Yes, indeed.
All right, now let's move on.
So. Okay, yeah, let's
All right, DOJ.
Yeah?
Department of Justice.
Uh-huh.
All right, i.e., torture memos.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like you've already bespoken of, and so therefore, I'm going to reiterate. Yeah, it's on camera, Bush and Cheney.
Right.
So therefore, now, isn't that what Fox does, or isn't that what propaganda is? Repeat it, repeat it, repeat it.
Yeah.
All right. So then, what's up? That's my question, sir. So, now you can sell a dime bag around my neck of the woods and get thrown in jail.
Right.
For quite a long time.
Yes, yeah, well, down here, too.
Okay. Well, it looks like it's replete across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, let's move on up to flagged at airports. Now, why would somebody that... is a grandma get flagged in an airport with regards to suspicion of what do you call that, terrorism?
Yeah, terrorist. Well, I don't know, but where are you going with this, Ron?
All right. Well, I'm trying to. I've got it all formulated here, and I got arrows for it. My point being is, why would you even go that direction when you already know the terrorists are right in front of your face?
Well, I get your point. I get your point. Yeah, the terrorists are right in front of our faces, but that's the oldest trick in a magic act. Everything is right in front of your face, but the magician has the ability to distract your attention just long enough to make you think that he's pulling a rabbit out of the hat that was a moment ago empty. So what's happening, in my opinion, is we have been magicized. I don't know. It's sleight of hand. It's deception. The whole thing is insane. But I do get what you're saying. I got to move on, Rum. Thank you. I get what you're saying perfectly. I really do. And, I waver and fluctuate between abject, depression, And a sense of loss that my country's gone. It's irretrievably gone. Between that and hope that there are enough decent people, scattered through the Obama administration that will bring this madness to some sort of an end somehow, some way. So I fluctuate between that abject despondency on the one hand and little finger tappings of hope on the other, until I try to, I'm forced to sit down and try to figure it out for my own self. Okay, special prosecutor or congressional committee of inquiry. What to do? Is Obama's, saying that, he agrees with the Democratic Party leadership that a congressional inquiry should not occur. Well, Pelosi doesn't say that, but I've just lost touch with Pelosi and her little squeamish little battle with Jane Harman. I don't know anything anymore. Do you? Does anybody out there know anything? Does anybody really understand not just what's going on, but possible ways out of this? I've read some emails tonight from people who do list, you know, one, two, three, here's what to do. These are the questions that need answering. And I read those and I think, yeah, well, okay, that makes sense. But, you know, that's between you and me down here in this little teensy weensy, I don't know, 10 pixels of reality. Here, you know, here we sit, you know, just us. And the truth is, and don't email me with a bunch of political theory, the truth is you and I don't have any power about this at all. We really don't. You want to sign a petition? Okay, sign a petition. There's a petition out there for that's supposed to go to Eric Holder. What's it called? I don't know. Watergate Summer something. A couple of people have sent it to me, and I lost some power on my computer. I lost a lot of emails here this evening while the show was going. So I know that there are websites, or at least one, that's getting signatures to send to Barack Obama, or not to Barack Obama, but to Eric Holder, I guess. But, you know, what power about this particular issue? I'm not talking about collective power. I'm not talking about, you know, the ballot box, or is that gone too? I'm just talking about, you know, what can you and I do? What can we do? So I'm not, you know, I'm not sure, but what the hell? R is calling from Mariana, Florida, listening on XM. Hello, R.
Hi, how are you?
Is that R as in a pirate?
Well, I'm a sailor, and I'm kind of a semi-retired pirate.
Oh, okay, I got you.
You are, I got a word for you.
Okay.
Crapaganda.
Crapaganda.
You like it?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, I'll give you that word.
Okay, thank you.
Let me start. I got a list.
Okay.
General Shinseki, you know who he is?
Who?
General Shinseki.
Yes. Hey, hold on a second, R. Hold on. I got you right at the point where I got to go on a break. I'll come back.
I'll be glad to wait. I'll
okay. Hold on. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Country that's safe, in a land that's clean and free, for every color and culture, every person, every belief. Your greed, your fear, and your lies ain't gonna push me around. I'm gonna use the power I have. I'm gonna vote you right out of that house, 'cause I am a patriot.
It's about 7:30 before the hour. Sorry, a little delay there. All right, back to R, who is called in from Mariana, Florida. All right, R, where were we?
General Shinseki.
Yeah, all right, General Shinseki.
Okay, he was canned for a reason that most people don't realize. He was trying to get the Army to run on hydrogen, and they didn't want him in there. They got rid of him.
Oh, yeah?
You know anything about hydrogen?
In what regard?
I've designed systems. I'm going to send you some stuff in the mail. I designed systems that if you take wastewater and use electricity from solar panels or windmills, you can take wastewater and turn it into hydrogen. When you burn hydrogen in a power plant, you have a fresh water supply for a community.
Yeah.
These little outfits can be exported all over the world and make millions of jobs.
Yeah.
But let me go on to something else, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Afghanistan has natural gas wells in northern Afghanistan, just south of Turkmenistan, and it's got undeveloped oil fields in Kandahar province, and nobody knows anything about it but me.
Yeah.
But the reason I know about it is, you know what finger hash is or temple balls?
No, and let me just say you're getting way too technical for my audience at approaching midnight on a Friday night. Where are you going with this, R?
Well, that's how I know it's there, because I was in Afghanistan and I smuggled a load of hash from there.
Okay, but what's this got to do with what we've been talking about for the past 2 hours and 50 minutes?
Well, it all hooks together.
Okay, tell me how. I'm not getting what you're saying. Tell me how it all...
Because we're fighting a war in Afghanistan and Iraq for oil.
Right.
We don't need the goddamn oil if we start burning, doing what we're capable of doing and producing hydrogen.
Okay, well, you don't get any disagreement from me about that. Okay. But... those are decisions that need to be made way above my pay grade. I'm not sure why you brought that to this program. Sam is calling from Hollywood, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Sam.
Yeah, Sam, nice to talk with you again. Nice to hear you on KTLK. Hollywood.
My pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to give you, some sense at the end of the day and midnight coming up, everything's going to be all right. As I understand it, Obama is a student of Aikido.
Yeah.
And it's working out. The game you see is not the game being played.
Oh, really? All right. Well, you know, I've been saying I don't call it. I'm not aware he was a student of Aikido. I've been saying that I hope he's employing the tactics that Muhammad Ali did in destroying his opponents. That is rope-a-dope.
Right.
And basically, I guess it's the same thing.
Yeah. And so he's just going to let all of this play out in the court of public opinion. So let a special prosecutor be put aside, put a Truth and Commission, Truth and Reconciliation Commission be put aside, and let all of these memos, let Dick Cheney roil about in the Fox, you know, miasma out over the broadcast airwaves, and let all these guys, you know, surface and let them, you know, get exposed to the light of truth. And there it is.
Well, I God knows, I hope you're right. What makes you think you're right?
I just have a feeling that Obama's got a few knives behind other people's backs, which is the way Gorbachev worked his way through the Soviet Union. And that's about it.
Well,
have a good night, Mike.
All right. I certainly hope you're right, Sam. Thanks a lot for checking in. I'll see you Monday night, okay? Have a good weekend. And Kevin Kenny, have a great weekend wherever you are. Take care, y'all. Keep it lit. I'm going.